As we read this morning first from the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter, the reading beginning at the 14th verse. Here it is. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your sight to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord who served other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. And then from the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse, hear this. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do no murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these have I kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he has great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. This is the Word of God. You know, that is one of the most interesting passages I find in the New Testament. And I think the character whom we meet in those words is maybe one of the most winsome in the whole of the New Testament. He is, on first sight, a man who literally seems to have everything. And that's sort of summed up in the name by which we've learned to call him. The rich young ruler. The rich. In this land, there can be no doubt among us that we who hanker after the rich and the famous and follow their every mood as though our life depended upon it, and who dream with every lottery ticket that all our problems would be solved instantly. You know, to us, things are a god. At least in some of those idle moments of our thoughts. And here's a fellow who suddenly appears one day out of the crowd, and he's got money. And he will learn before the incident is over. He had great possessions. And rich, young. Well, if we're not hankering after the youth, I don't know what is the meaning of the billion-dollar industry we support constantly. I mean, Eterna 21 just for men, what is it, vitamin E. The market is loaded with stuff for wrinkles, aches, pains, and every decade we exchange after 21, we do it with a fear and awesomeness, like something terrible has befallen us. And how we would linger around 29 for at least a decade, if not 39. You know, when you're young, everything seems potential. It's all out there just waiting to happen, just waiting for you. World enough in time. Okay, here comes a fellow out of the crowd. He's rich. He's young. And a ruler. He's got position. Authority. If none of the others hanker for us, you know, to have some kind of status is somewhere in the itch of us all, in some form or the other. So here somebody pops up one day out of the crowd, rich, young, ruler. He's got everything, at least the modern pantheon would worship or does. But there's a lot more than that. An awful lot more. Because with all that he has got, and that's plenty, he also knows it's not enough. Now that's a giant step from those who possess. He's come to Jesus with a question. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So he's not been deceived by the blessings that abound. And even further, we learn in the very conversation, this is a really good man. Jesus said to him immediately, you know the law, and he recites it. Don't cheat, don't covet, no, etc., etc. And he answers, teacher, I've kept all this from my youth. He said that to Jesus, who never brooked self-righteousness and hypocrisy. But instead, look at the gospel record. Right after he said that, the gospel writer notes, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him. The man was sincere. He honestly tried to do what is good, what is right, what is fair, what is honest. In anybody's picture, including Jesus, he was a good man. Now, what more is there? By our standards of hankering, youth, fortune, position, morality, ethics, and still he knows there is something more. This, all of it, isn't enough. It isn't all there is. And you know, to this point, I make my case. One of the most attractive figures that walks across the pages of the New Testament is this fella. But then suddenly, to
too suddenly. The story changes. The picture is very different. Jesus tells him a commitment to make the difference. And it's too hard. Too hard. And he walks away. The record says sorrowfully. And the more you think about it, you wonder really how deep is that sorrow? Because as he strolls off the page, you can't help but think, can you? What a disciple he would have made. What an apostle he might have become. There are peasants, fishermen, who long outstripped him, that were there that day, and yet he walks, we don't even know his name, have no idea what became of him, or how, in fact, his story really ended. You do wonder if anywhere in that journey away, he remembered that conversation. You wonder if somewhere down the road when youth began to fade, and it does, oh yes, inevitably, with all our devices, it fades. And even when the time is getting close that, you know, all the stuff we're holding so tight, so close, we have to let it go. And even authority has a way of fading. You wonder if in any of those latter days, any of this conversation returned. And there is about the man another question that sort of bothers me. This remarkable man, this winsome man, encountered Jesus, wanting to know about eternal life. He could never have come closer to finding what he sought. And he walked away. And in that kind of dramatic moment, can you help but ask, where do you go when you're walking away from the greatest opportunity? When you're leaving behind the biggest challenge ever possible? Where do you go from here? And while that is a question that lingers with me after reading this story, I realize we all answer that regularly, don't we? Here we are again, as is our custom. And we've heard again and celebrated and worshiped Jesus, Lord of life, giver of life. And we've all sensed the call to be disciple. Well, in a few minutes we'll do a benediction.
and will go. So, my friends, you tell me, where do we go from here? Is it from glory to glory, victory to victory? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.